Welcome to day 14 of the UFC 100 Mega Coverage Audio on the MMATorch.com VIP site and MMA Torch iPhone for UFC 100 Mega Coverage. This is MMA Torch editor Jamie Pennick, and I'm joined once again by Torch columnist Jason Bent this week. And we're rounding out this week by talking about the number three fight on the card, the coaches fight from the ninth season of The Ultimate Fighter. It's Michael Bisping against Dan Henderson. We've got the 18-1 Bisping, who was the winner of Season 3 of The Ultimate Fighter, against former Olympic wrestler, former two-weight class champion in Pride, Dan Henderson. And, you know, the show really has always been a very good vehicle for hyping up these coach fights, Jason. And, well, this bout would have been an intriguing one anyway, considering that it's on the UFC 100 card. Without The Ultimate Fighter to build it up, it very much could have gotten lost in the shuffle, but with the buildup of the show and the two personalities that were very, very different on the show with Henderson and Bisping, they really did a very good job of setting up one of the two that you would want to cheer for, depending on A, who you liked in the first place, and B, what country you live in.
Yeah, you definitely, after having watched this season, the one thing you're going to take away is that you care more about one fighter than you do the other one, and you care more about both of them than you did before completely. I mean, you look back at, like, Henderson-Franklin, great fight, two legendary fighters, and it was considered a skippable pay-per-view because personality-wise, you've got Henderson, who is the, you know, cauliflower ear, Ben Stein on a bottle of Xanax. He's just, you're not going to get sound bites from him. He just comes in, shows up to work, and fights. And that's where a show like this did so much more for Hendo, letting you see another side of him that maybe nobody has ever seen before, and especially the newer fans who really have not known him much at all, if anything. I think this was a great thing, and it just shows, again, the power of this program. The show itself may not bring us a champion. We may not always get a future champion from one of the fighters on top, but it is a guarantee that the coach's fight will matter 10 times, 100 times more than it did before. It was a good fight, the right fight for both, but it suddenly has a whole lot more pizzazz to it, and basically this was the equivalent of 12 weeks of a UFC countdown for Bisping Henderson, and it makes me a whole hell of a lot more excited for it than I was before.
Well, and then you look at the way the two were presented on the show. It was very much set up for, if you're a UK fan and you already love Michael Bisping, you're going to be completely behind everything that he did on the show, trying to rile up Henderson any way he could, trying to get under the skin of the American team, just trying to push buttons and trying to get inside the heads of the other team, and specifically Dan Henderson for this bout. Whether he was actually successful on that with Henderson is highly debatable because Henderson doesn't seem to be fazed by anything. But then on the flip side of that, if you're an American fan or even just a casual fan that maybe sometimes likes Bisping, sometimes doesn't, this show probably did a lot to turn you off on him as a person. I mean, he comes across as Henderson put it, a douchebag during his time on the show. And I mean, it's not that he's a bad person. It's not that he's a bad fighter. It's not anything to do with that. It's just his personality and the way he was going about things, him missing Dina Mossinger's fight, and just his overall being on the show came off as kind of a whiny little prick at times and a goading little douche other times. So that's just how he comes across on the show. Obviously, that's selective editing. I mean, you hear tons of stories of him being a really cool person in real life. There's a thread on the Underground this week of a guy that met him out in a casino in Vegas, and Bisping was really cool to him and did stuff like that. So, I mean, we're not saying that he is a douchebag in real life or that he's a bad person or anything like that. That's just the way that the show painted him, and it makes you want to cheer for. In that aspect, if you're on that side, it makes you want to cheer for Henderson even more than you might have if you weren't a fan of Bisping in the first place. I mean, that just really drove home that point.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, hey, if Bisping wants to buy me a blue raspberry icy, hey, he's the man. Overall, I have to say I like Bisping. Although, you like him if he's with you, and you're going to hate him if he's against you. I really think it reeks of insecurity. He comes across, he's loud, boastful, that damn laugh, but I really think he's a very insecure person, because you look back at his first time on Tough, and all he did was whine that he didn't come over here to get slighted because Tito Ortiz was giving Matt Hamill special treatment. They got him an interpreter. I mean, he was angry about a deaf fighter getting an interpreter, as if that was something that, you know, he shouldn't have had the right to get. And you can argue about Tito's treatment of him, but Bisping was sour. He was salty about that. So he's got the history of being a whiner, and he was painted on this show as one. Whether it's a combination of editing and how he was, I think it's a little bit of both in this case. I think he's good for the sport. He's great for the sport for what he brings to the UK. He's a big face. He's their Ricky Hatton of MMA, perhaps even bigger. I think he's great. I earned a lot more respect for him as a fighter based on what he did against Chris Leben. I really just think that was a smooth, calculating fight where he admitted, I was just trying to win the decision. But I think he did the right thing. But he's still that perpetual whiner and boastful to where you know he doesn't even believe it. He said, he was quoted as saying he will out-wrestle Dan Anderson. There's no way he believes it. It's clearly a case of trying to say it often enough to try and believe it yourself. There's no way he possibly can believe it. On the other side of the coin, you've got Dan Henderson, who doesn't need to say a damn thing. You know, just like Michael Jordan didn't need to tell you he was going to score 30 points, Dan Henderson does not need to tell you what he's going to do in a ring or a cage. He's Hendo. Track record speaks for itself. He's going to be 39 years old. He could probably fight for another 10 years. But he really needed this show. He needed this show because for marketability, you've got to put some personality out there. You've got to give fans a reason. If there's no belts on the line, unless a fan really knows everything about a guy's fighting history, you got to give them something else. The show did it. And in this case, you've got Hendo, who is the cool, calm killer, going up against the boastful, pretty insecure Michael Bisping, and suddenly we've got a really good dynamic and a new wrinkle to what was already a good fight. It's just now it's got some depth to it, and a lot of people hate the term storyline, but it's not a storyline, it's a backstory to it now. There's more to care about. Anytime you have more to care about or another reason to root for somebody instead of what you had before, it's a good thing. So this was the perfect program for both of them. And I think editing and how they were, you know, it's 50-50 with each. But I think overall it came out as a pretty good job. You hate one, you love the other, and that makes for a good atmosphere for the fight.
I'm going back to something you just said just a little bit ago. We've got a local radio program here in Minneapolis on the sports radio station KFAN. It's the Common Man program. He's definitely not for everyone. But one of the bits that they do is the preposterous statement of the year. Michael Bisping saying that he's going to out-wrestle Dan Henderson is up with the top of them. That's just one of those things where, like you said, he can't even truly believe that that's what's going to happen in this fight. And it's one of the more patently ridiculous things that has come out of his mouth. But you say what you got to say leading up to a fight, and he's certainly not afraid to trash talk. But the other benefit of the Ultimate Fighter for this fight is it's going to push the winner into an almost immediate title shot with Anderson Silva. Henderson's already got his, so if he wins, he may not get right into it with Maya and Marquardt still fighting. But for Bisping, if Bisping wins this fight and Anderson Silva gets through Forrest Griffin in August, they're going back to the UK in November. I mean, that fight for the middleweight title between Anderson Silva and Michael Bisping, should he get past Dan Henderson, would be the biggest mixed martial arts fight the UK has ever seen. The crowd would go absolutely nuts. It's very likely it would surpass, they could set that fight up in a venue that could surpass the live attendance in Montreal, and could surpass the crowd reaction, from those Montreal shows, the first one with GSP. was just gangbusters. It was ridiculous. This one would surpass that if Bisping and Anderson Silva face off for the middleweight title in the United Kingdom.
Yeah, this would be, the crowd would be hotter than Montreal was for GSP, because Bisping means so much more to the UK than GSP does to Canada, and that's saying something. I really do think, and I did predict that Bisping's going to get the win. I really think this is what is going to happen, and it's great on so many levels. Bisping winning tough, getting to where he is now, has really opened up MMA in Great Britain, but a fight against Anderson Silva? That is beyond mega. That's bigger than anything they've ever seen before, possibly could see afterwards. I really don't know about Bisping's chances in that fight. Seriously, I think the only people that could really have a chance against Anderson Silva right now are Dan Henderson and Demian Maia, with Nate Marquardt right there as well. I don't know about the odds in that fight, but forget that. Just the fight itself is bigger than big. That is just this global footprint that the UFC is leaving. This is stomping a mud hole in the ground with that one, because it's going to be just 10 times hotter than Montreal. And the good thing for us is it again, would be a great big show to look forward to, a compelling fight, because you don't know what could happen. And besides that, a super hot crowd makes for a super hot fight to watch regardless. That feeling comes right through the screen. You can feel it. It's palpable, and it gets you into the fight no different than those folks that are there. So, yeah, this is, you know, Silva and Griffin, whatever happens in that fight, Silva goes back to where he was, and in front of that crowd, there's no way he can do anything but fight, because that crowd will not let Anderson Silva just skate around. And I don't think Bisping would allow it with that crowd behind him. And that's just an awesome event. That really is something powerful to look forward to on so many levels.
Well, and that's another sign of what this show, The Ultimate Fighter, does for the coaches that are on here. I mean, that's the exact reason why Rampage took the coaching job instead of a guaranteed title shot against Lyoto Machida. One, because of the exposure with this fight with Rashad Evans is going to be huge. Two, they already pushed that Rashad Evans fight at UFC 96 in that confrontation. And three, the money involved is just going to be off the charts for that season, because it's going to do, with Kimbo Slice and the heavyweight tournament going on, it's going to be one of the highest rated editions of that show. And you just look at it, and this Bisping-Henderson fight, while intriguing without the show, would just be another fight to set up perhaps a contender's fight with the winner of Maia and Marquardt. Without the Ultimate Fighter show, this fight would just be another fight that would be really solid and a really good addition to this UFC 100 card under the two title fights. But the show elevates it that much more, and it makes people care about the fighters themselves. Like you touched on earlier, a lot of the newer fans, which is a mass majority of MMA fans, are newer fans and are not well-versed in Japanese MMA, and hardcore fans can decry it all they want, but the fact of the matter is they're far outnumbered, and a lot of those fans don't know a lot about Dan Henderson. They don't know a lot about what he did in Pride. They don't know how good he was and how good he is. Because the first two fights that he had to come into the UFC and fight were both five-round title fights. And a really tough loss to Rampage Jackson, and then the loss to Anderson Silva. And he's still got a lot left in the tank, even at 39 years old. And getting his personality on this show makes people care about him more than just the guy who got beat in two title fights and edged out a decision against Rich Franklin in January.
Yeah, and with Rampage, while I still stand behind the feelings I have, the thing is with Rampage, the title shot's always going to be there for him. He's at the Liddell level where no matter what happens, he's always going to be a fight away. So why not take the money, take the exposure, and then take the title shot with whatever happens Machida, Hua, whatever down the line. Whereas you've got Bisping and Henderson. Henderson, talent-wise, based on what he's done, a title shot could always be there. But for all of these new fans, you have to justify that to them. If all they do is based off of what they've seen of him in the UFC, you know, he lost his first two, he beat Polaris, some people feel he lost to Franklin. He hasn't exactly set the world on fire with them. And, you know, as much like you said, the hardcore fans that have all the Japanese fights on VHS or whatever on DVD now, and a lot of these new fans have never seen him, and most of them could not possibly care less. It's just a matter of when you watch football, it's basically NFL or bust. You can sit and tell me how great the CFL is or tell any fan, and they're going to tell you, well, hey, why aren't they over here? And while that is not necessarily the case in MMA, there's great fights, great fighters all over. Fact of the matter is UFC is the brand. These fans that have got into the sport late, there's nothing wrong with the fact they got into the sport late. They got into the sport based on the Ultimate Fighter, and it's been presented to them that, you know, these guys are stars. Here's why. Dan Henderson got that treatment now. Finally, he deserved every bit of it. It gives him the glimmer of personality, which he's never shown, doesn't even really have, but it made it look, you got to know him a little bit more. And suddenly for Hendo, he's got a fight with Bisping that people are really caring about. And had this fight happened before and Henderson won, it would not be as big of a deal for him as it will be now if he beats Bisping. If he beats Bisping, it's a bigger fight for him now. Same thing the other way. Bisping wins this fight, title shot immediately. The Ultimate Fighter works. It's a proven fact. It's a program that works. It's developed stars, and it builds the coach's fight better than anything you could possibly have, and it builds the coaches. It suddenly takes your superstar fighters that they already can handle their business in there, but now you're giving them personality, and you're giving fans another reason to pull for them, and Henderson deserves it. He finally will be perceived as the star he has always been in the new UFC fans' eye, and this was a great, great move, shrewd move. He's lucky he got the win over Franklin to get this far, and now we've got Henderson Bisping. It's a fight that really, really, really matters now, especially in terms of perception.
And really, that's all that matters at the end of the day is that people are going to care about this fight, and it's because of the show, and it's because it's a good fight in the first place. But the show built it up that much more, and we have a great clash between two guys that we want to see get in the cage against each other. Now to be right in the middle of this gigantic UFC 100 card. So we're coming up on the near the 18-19 minute mark here in this audio. So we'll cut it off for today, and we will be back tomorrow with yet another daily audio. So for Torch Columnist Jason Bentz, this is Jamie Penick signing off.